future lay out there in the bullpen?
This is the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Who let those guys up here?
Well, well, well. How the turntables.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Welcome into the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am Joe George. You can find me on Twitter. Still going to say that forever. At Joe George Radio. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Of course, the text line and the HRMP listener line is your way into the show at 713-780-3776. We got John Bellmer behind the glass tonight at Third Coast Johnny. It's with the number three. I keep trying to type third and be like, where's John's Twitter? And then I find it eventually.
Yeah, number three.
Yeah, it's just, you know. We don't work together a lot, John. We're going to start doing this more often, I hope. But we got a lot of stuff to get into tonight, obviously. Astros and Royals will get underway in about an hour. Big series this weekend for the Stros. Look, you're playing a bad team once again, but we just saw what happened last weekend when they played. So hopefully this weekend will go much better. We'll talk about the Texans game. We're going to do a lot of times on Mondays on sports radio, they do what we learned. We're going to try to change that on Fridays. So we're going to do what we will learn on Friday. So we're going to do a bunch of stuff, college football, NFL, Texans, Astros, all of the above. We'll do that coming up at 6:30. But we're going to start with the Houston Astros because I think we got some red flags. I'm a little concerned about a couple things with the Astros. Now, first of all, we know what the concerns are with the team. Like, you've lost three straight series, two of them are teams with 100 losses. You play the Royals once again. You're in a super tight playoff race, really for two spots, whether it's the AL West title or just to be even one of the wild card teams, because you could be potentially the AL West winner, second or third in the wild card, or completely out of the playoffs. Like, everything is obviously so on the table for the Houston Astros right now that it really, it's hard to get a really good feeling about where the Astros will end up. I think most people, you know, like on the Killer Bees, the three of us, we've discussed it. We all believe the Astros are going to make the playoffs, that they're going to win the division. And part of that, I think, is because we're all hoping that this weekend you will beat a team that is terrible. Like, besides Bobby Witt Jr., there's very little talent on the Kansas City Royals. And they need to take care of business. So the first red flag is that they just haven't done it. Like, it is time for the Astros to take advantage of the team that they're playing and win some damn baseball games. Because while the Rangers and the Mariners are playing all these games towards the back end of the season, like, you have to take advantage. This is your opportunity that, you know, if the Rangers get swept this weekend and you sweep the Royals, you've at least distanced yourself from one team. Like, you've got four teams fighting for three spots. You need to separate yourself from at least one of them over the weekend. You can't lose two out of three to the Royals again, because there's been no panic button. The panic button, it's like, it's right next to me. It's been ready to get pushed. We're not pushing it yet. You lose two out of three, we're coming in Monday. CJ Stroud could throw five touchdowns. The Astros lose two of three to the Royals. They're the lead story, because now you're talking about missing the playoffs. And that is unacceptable. So, like, the Astros just have failed to take advantage of the teams in front of them, and they need to do that this weekend. The next thing, we talked about at the end of the Killer Bees just now, Yordan Alvarez. There's some weird stuff going on, man. Like, Yordan Alvarez has not played in left field since September 13th. He was being watched today by the Astros trainer, Jeremiah Randall, as he was throwing the baseball. Dusty Baker was asked, why is he not out there? And he said, it's better for us. For him to be the DH, it was followed up with, does he have an ailment? Dusty Baker doubled down. It's better for him to be the DH. What does that mean, Dusty? Like, does he have discomfort? Like, that's your favorite word.
Was it that fall he took on his knees in the outfield that scared him enough to maybe just make him DH?
I don't know. Maybe. But the problem is, there's a problem with Yordan Alvarez not playing. I'm always team Yordan Alvarez don't play left field until Yainer Diaz can't play baseball for the Astros, apparently, if Yordan Alvarez does not play left field. Like, that's where Yordan Alvarez not being able to play left field consistently, and you're not worried about, and you're always worried about health, is an actual real lineup construction problem for the Houston Astros this season. I get it. We all do. Dusty's not going to take out Maldi, especially when Fromber and JV are on the mound. And it seems like Maldi's going to be getting Javier going forward. So if Yordan can't play in left, Yiner Diaz isn't going to play. And that's a problem. It's just, it's frustrating because he's so damn good. He's got so much pop in his bat. He's got, what, 23 home runs this season? He's got a, there's a very good chance he'll set the rookie record for the Astros, most home runs in a year. And he'll do that by massive shared play time. He should be playing over Maldi. He should be playing over Jose Abreu. But none of those things are happening. So he should be your DH, but he can't. Because something is going on with Yordan Alvarez. Whether it's just the ultimate fear, which we all have. Like, everyone knows Yordan Alvarez in left field is not something you want. There was that play a couple weeks ago where he goes out to left field and somehow on dirt, it looks like he's on ice skates and his knee buckles in a way it's not supposed to. And he's out there for like 5-10 minutes when they're playing the Yankees. And then Javier gives up a home run. I think it was the Judge or Stanton, like two pitches later. Like, you don't want that. The other red flag. I don't even know if this is a red flag. This is just like, it's a dead body, basically. Where the hell is Michael Brantley? Like, here's Dusty Baker today about Michael Brantley. He's not available.
Brantley available today?
No, almost. Yeah. So, I'm not exactly sure when. So, I mean, he can be available on the pinch, but I'm trying to stay away from him.
What is it that you learned about the Royals?
He could be available in a pinch. What does that mean, Dusty? So is he healthy? He's healthy enough to be available in a pinch. He's not healthy enough to bat in a close game what you need to win on Wednesday against the Baltimore Orioles. Gray Kessinger is up to bat if they don't win where they do. Michael Brantley's not available then, but he's available in a pinch now? I don't buy it. And this is something the Astros have done for like 3 years that just, I never understood it. For some reason, it never bites them in the ass. But they do this where a player is hurt and they sit that player on the bench for like 3 or 4 games and they just play shorthanded for no reason.
Well, this might be the year it bites them in the ass if yes, they don't win here.
Like, I'm not saying that. I don't even know who you would call up right now from Sugar Land to replace Michael Brantley. Like, it's not like David Hensley is going to help you. But, like, your bench is shorter intentionally because Michael Brantley cannot play. I do not think he's going to play again this year. He has not played in, like, a week. He has not played when you've needed him most. So, like, Michael Brantley, he's donezo. He's not part of the Astros. He's going to be there in a jersey. He might as well be hanging out with Lance McCullers and Tony Busby. Like, Lance McCullers, he's nowhere to be found. I think there's a better chance we see Lance McCullers in the next week. I know, there's literally none. Than Michael Brantley. He is MIA, and it's just, it's a huge red flag. So, like, where if you believe that Michael Brantley is going to come back, I got bad news for you. If you believe Dusty Baker when he says that he's available in a pinch, I got bad news for you. He's not. Because he would have been the other day. Like, there's no way that this shoulder injury or whatever's causing it is all of a sudden better in 2 days after the Wednesday game when Kessinger was about to come to the plate. Michael Brantley is just absolutely not going to be part of the Astros' plans going forward, and that sucks because the little he gave you, he looked so good. Like, he did this his first rehab start. He got hurt. He played his rehab starts in Sugar Land. He played first base, DH, left field. He was hitting the ball all over the place. He travels, I think it was to Anaheim with the Astros, and then he goes back on the injured list. And then now he comes back, he goes through the minors, he comes up, he's hitting the ball well, he's hitting over 90 miles an hour in all of his at first 4 at-bats when he comes back for the Astros, and now he's gone again. And it's just, there's no reason to believe that Michael Brantley, like, is going to be there. And I don't think anyone thought through most of the season that he was going to be a factor. But when he came back, it's like they just gave you enough hope that Michael Brantley was going to be a contributing factor, even just a pinch hitter. Like, Jeremy, Joel, and I have talked about it a ton. If Michael Brantley is just a pinch hitter for the playoffs, that'd be awesome. He's not even that. Like, I don't think he could even be that. Like, I hate to hear...
You don't think he could even be that?
He wasn't the other day.
No,
so
he wasn't. But the little bit that he gave us when he was back gives me hope that maybe if you make it to the postseason here, that big moments, he's going to be the bat that you go to.
Yeah, I'm getting crushed. Not crushed, but people are asking me why I'm wearing an SMU shirt. This is called I'm Moving, and I need to do laundry. And I found the first shirt I could find that, even though I got called fat today by Roland or
You're
Ronaldo.
You're not fat, by the
Roland,
way.
Roland, Ronaldo, whatever your name is. I know you tweeted at me, supposedly. I just haven't seen it yet. It's the only shirt I could find. But that's what's going on with the Astros. And all that matters is win. Like, you're playing the Royals, because the last thing is this. It doesn't matter if Yiner Diaz plays. It doesn't matter if Michael Brantley plays this weekend. You're playing the Royals. Like, you should beat their ass up and down the city of Kansas City. They don't deserve to be on the same field as you. Or, I guess, city of Houston. It's a home game. Duh. But, like, you need to win these games. It's so simple. It does not matter that these guys are not playing this weekend, because you could roll out a AAA lineup, and as long as Jose Altuve is in your lineup, you're better than the Royals. Like, they stink. They're just as bad as the A's. They have one good player. Win these games this weekend, and I'm tired of any excuses about fire and motivation. Your motivation is you're going to miss the playoffs. So it's time to put up or shut up and be the Houston Astros that we all know and love. I loved being in the clubhouse getting champagne sprayed on my Jordans last year. It was awesome. I'd love to experience that once again. You got to make the playoffs to ruin my nice shoes, guys. Thank you. All right. I'm Joe George. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio. Let's talk about the Texans. What can we expect this weekend? What needs to improve? What can improve as the injuries keep mounting for this team? That's next year in the bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Get over here!
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
A red sun rises. Blood has been spilled this night.
Excellent.
This is the bullpen. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George here with you till 7 o'clock. John Bellmer behind the glass. We're on Twitter at Joe George Radio, at Third Coast Johnny. The Texans this weekend. Like, it's so funny because I can't wait to have these conversations about the Texans. I'm not going to say can't wait. I hope we get to have these conversations one day about the Texans like we just had about the Astros. I hope so. You know how badly I want for you, for those of you that know me, you know I'm from Chicago. You know how badly I want the Texans to be good so I can kick the dumpster fire Bears to the curb. I'm so ready. I'm so ready to punt that franchise out of my life. Like, I'm done with them.
Just do it already.
I can't, because who am I going to root for?
Well, the Texans. I mean, they're on a better trajectory, at least.
Well, they are, but, like, they still stink.
They do, but, I mean,
I seem to be a little bit better. And I'm also, like, not sure I can handle C.J. Stroud's better than Justin Fields. I already know that. But, like, I'm all of a sudden way more invested. What a disaster. We're going to talk about the Bears in the last segment. It's going to be a new segment we're also going to do occasionally. It's called It Could Be Worse. And I'm going to tell you all the reasons why it could be worse than being a Texans fan or even a struggling Astros fan at this moment. But I'm still ready. I'm still ready for the Texans to be good. I'm ready to be done talking about garbage time yards for C.J. Stroud and black clouds. Like, I need next year to be here already. I think I'm over this football season is the way I'm going to put it. The Bears suck. They're not going to get any better. The NFC is boring. Like, it's the 49ers and the Eagles. Joe Burrow's hurt, so my Super Bowl prediction might be screwed. Like, and the Texans, like, I just want them to win games. I just don't think they're going to do that. And they're going to win week four. I'll put that on. They're going to win their first game, week four, honoring J.J. Watt at halftime because Kenny Pickett has to wear gloves. I don't know why. He wore gloves during the combine in the hallway. Like, they were in the hallway of the hotel in Indianapolis, and he was wearing his gloves indoors. Why? I don't know. Like, we saw Peyton Manning wear gloves when it got cold. Why is Kenny Pickett wearing gloves? Because he has super tiny hands? I guess so, but, like, it's the dumbest thing. Yeah, Alex, I'm ready to be a free agent. I'm ready. Like, I'm ready to dump the Bears but the Texans got to give me a reason. And, like, they're close, but we're a couple things this weekend, what we want to see. Let's start here. Low bar, Damian Pierce, rush for over 50 yards, please. Like, 69 rushing yards, I think it is. A nice number, 38 in week one, 38 in week one, yeah, 31 in week two. Can we get over 50? Like, small progress. We think Laremy Tunsil's going to play. Just run towards Tunsil. Like, 50 rushing yards. That's something I would like to see this weekend. That's a pathetically low bar. Like, that's what I mean. Like, let's raise the bar a little bit. But let's get to 50. Then we'll get to 75. Then we'll get to 100. like just 1 week at a time, but 50 rushing yards for Damian Pierce. Don't run the most inept rushing game out there this weekend. That would be a very good, that would be a positive thing. Even if there's just a couple plays, like even if they come in two or three chunks from Pierce, seeing him this weekend get some movement from the offensive line in front of him and not getting hit as he's getting the ball would be such a good thing for the Texans.
Also, not playing from behind would help with that as well.
That's on my list. Like, that's on my list for sure. I would like to, I don't want to hear, like, I only believe that last real possession for C.J. Stroud was garbage time yards. I would like to see the Texans keep pace with the Jags for at least two quarters. Once again, low bar. Like, really low bar. Like, if the Jags score, don't fumble the ball, CJ, and allow the Jags to score again when you're down, and then you're down 14-0. Let's not do that. Defense, let's get a stop. Now, the Jags have some tackle issues. Their tackles are not performing this well so far early in the season. This should be a big weekend for Grenard and Will Anderson. But the biggest thing is just like how they're going to combat that. I feel like the Colts wrote the book on the Texans last weekend, and it's week two, and they can't stop the short pass. We'll get to that from Matt Burke in a second, but let's hear from C.J. Stroud. Here's what C.J. Stroud said of where he wants to improve.
For me, it's the win. Like, it's cool to play good, but like, if you don't win, it really don't matter. So, and for me, like I had plays where I feel like we didn't win because of me. So I got to be better, you know what I mean? And I got to look myself in the mirror and not point fingers, and that's something I would never do. But for me, like, I got to lead my guys better. I got to do everything better so we can win. And that's all that matters. Like, so that's probably my biggest focus is doing all those little things right. So those things, little things add up for us to become victorious.
Great answer, because that's all that matters. Win. Like, get a win. That would be awesome. Like,
but he's wrong, though. That's not all that matters. I mean, you just want to see CJ perform well this year. Like, yeah. You already said it. I'm ready for next football season. Like, it's not even about that this year.
Yeah, this year is about CJ not getting killed. It's about progress. It's about getting better. But some victories would be nice. Look, making that pick for the Cardinals worse would be a great thing. I had him at 7 wins. I feel very wrong through 2 weeks. I'm hoping that this weekend we'll kind of start to right that a little bit. Look, I don't think what happened last weekend is necessarily a reality of Kansas City. I don't think Kansas City's defense is as good as Justin Reed is on Twitter trying to make it seem to be, okay? He's out there talking about how good they are. He's like, we'll prove it again week three. You're playing Justin Fields and the Bears, okay? It's going to look good. Pick six City for Justin Reed this weekend. But, like, I'm Trevor Lawrence. Like, while they had a bad week two, week one was awesome. So, like, who are they? I'm very curious. And frankly, like, they're going to get torched at some point. You don't have Derek Stingley. You don't have Tavier Thomas. Like, can you keep it close? I think is the question. So, like, that is something. I agree with CJ's answer. Winning would be awesome. Another low bar. These are where we're at. Low bar expectations. Here we go. 50 rushing yards. Keep it close through two quarters. Get sacked four times or less. Like, those are the first three things I want this weekend, okay? Like, we're not asking for a lot, John. Belmer, I'm not asking for W's. I'm not asking for blowouts. I'm asking for less than four sacks, 50 rushing yards from Damian Pierce, and keeping it close through two quarters.
Little wins, baby.
Little wins. Like, we're small growth here, okay? We're not jumping over the moon. Little things. One other thing, and we'll go to the Matt Burke next, because we mentioned what happened last week. One thing we need to see differently. I want to see the Texans and D'Amico Ryan's defense improve, not just against the run game versus Travis Etienne, but it was pretty clear through, you know, a couple series with Richardson, but specifically when Minshew came in the game last weekend, like the clear attack was short passes. And Trevor Lawrence and the Jags, I think, will probably take that same approach. It seems like it's the book. Now, with Stingley out, maybe it's different. Like maybe him and Tavier Thomas both being out, Petrie's out. Sounds like Jimmy Ward's going to play. But I think that the short pass game is going to be where they get attacked once again. How do they stop that is going to be an interesting question. Here's defensive coordinator Matt Burke talking about that very thing.
I would say it starts with we have to tackle well on the perimeter. So you can't let a 3-yard pass turn into a 10-yard pass. You have to make it where that strategy is not effective in terms of continuing to move the ball down the field. So that's a starting point of like tackling well. And, you know, the run game's a part of that. So we have to be good there. And you know, again, your rush opportunities tend to grow more when you get them into third down, third and longer situations. So if you can limit the sort of leaky yardage and the explosive gains from that quick passing game, you know, that's part of it. And I would say from a D-line perspective, just kind of battling the frustration, you know what I mean? And we always talk like you don't know when your op's coming. Like it can be quick pass, quick pass, quick pass. And as soon as you let up and now it's a drop back and you haven't given the same get off or you haven't tried to take the same approach, you know what I mean? It almost like lulls you into sleep. So, again, the mental strain, the mental part of it of saying like, man, every play, you don't know which one's going to be where he holds it for a little bit, you know, or and you can't get frustrated by ball out, ball out, ball out all the time. So we got to tackle on the perimeter. We got to let those not let those shorter gains turn into big gains and then take our ops when we get them.
We'll see. We'll see, Matt Burke. We'll see if you and D'Amico Ryans can scheme up something that's not so easy to just walk down the field like it was last week.
Yeah, they took a step back last week for sure.
Big time. Like, and Travis Etienne is not going to attack the middle of the field like Zach Moss did, but it's Zach Moss, man. I said this on Monday. He stinks. Like, he's not a good running back, and they made him look like Jonathan Taylor out there. Like, this is – that defense looks like the same one that has given up 200 rushing yards, it feels like, five times to Derrick Henry. So every single time Derrick Henry has a massive rushing game, they go, well, he's done this four times against the Texans and one time against everyone else. It's like, yeah, because Lovie Smith and David Culley's defense sucked. And hopefully D'Amico's will be better. 75 Truth here says on Twitch, little wins, no one else gets hurt. Great answer. Because it's been tough. Like, injuries are part of football, man. Like, we all know it. But the Texans are getting crushed. Like, missing four of your five starting offensive linemen last week. You're on your third center. You're basically on your third left guard, and you have to move someone out to tackle to cover.
Secondary, too?
Your secondary. Yeah. Like, you're getting them in chunks. Like, it's not like you have a receiver and a running back and a corner and a linebacker. It's your secondary has been depleted, and your offensive line has got crushed. Like, you're not, like, so far, your defensive line's been okay. Your running game has been okay. Your receiver room. Now that Mechie's back, I mean, I know you lost Noah Brown, but no disrespect to Noah Brown, thank goodness, because Tank Dell's awesome. But, like, they're just getting crushed in the same position group, and that's been really tough on the Texans. Like, no team is going to withstand what has happened to them. Like, if you expect, like, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Eagles, to deal with what the Texans have and then have great success, like, you're probably fooling yourself a little bit. Like, we saw when the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl. Like, they were missing three of their five starting offensive linemen, and they couldn't do anything. And they had to rebuild it very quickly when they lost. It was like Mitchell Schwartz and was out there at left tackle, and he was gone. Like, when you lose three out of five plus offensive linemen, no matter how talented or not talented they are, like, they're still your starters for a reason. The guys behind them are worse. That's what a depth chart's for. Like, the guys who are backups for a reason, even if your starters aren't hurt. It's been brutal. So, yeah, no injuries would be awesome this weekend, or no important injuries. We're going to go one raise the bar. Okay, we've set too many low expectations. I want to see a duplicating or replicating, I don't even know what word I'm looking for here, performance from Nico Collins and Tank Dell, because I believe in Tank Dell for sure. No doubt about it. I'm starting him in fantasy leagues this weekend. Even though he's projected to get like 6 points, I don't care. I think they're wrong. I think what he did last weekend, 7 catches, 72 yards, and a touchdown, is something he can replicate every single weekend. Maybe not without the touchdown, or maybe without the touchdown. But 7 catches, 70 yards at a minimum is something he can do. Like, he can be a chain mover pretty consistently for this team. So I'm going to see Tank Dell do that again. And I want to believe in Nico Collins. Like, it's the one point where I go back to where I've been most impressed with CJ Stroud is for the first time in 3 years, he has made Nico Collins look like a competent and talented NFL wide receiver. I'd like to see that again. And, like, I think Nico Collins is top five in receiving yards this season. I think that's something he can replicate, and he can be that good. It would be like the, after all the trash Nick Cassera stuff that I think has been very well deserved this week, like, at least you can give him, like, a little bit of bonus for, hey, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, maybe we'll see Mechie more involved in the offense. Like, trading up for three wide receivers, maybe it wasn't all a bad idea for Nick Cassera in the last three drafts. So that's the one where I'd like to see the bar raised even a little bit more between CJ Stroud's performance and the two wide receivers specifically this weekend, like what they can do on the field. Oh, and let's just get Tank Dell off punts. I don't want to. He got dinged up last weekend. Like, I really want to see it, but and I, it's funny because, like, I think Joel and I specifically would debate this a lot of, like, should he be back there for health? And I was like, yeah, like, it's fine. But now after just, like, one little hiccup, I'm throwing the coward button out there for myself. And let's put Robert Woods back there.
Yeah, because if he gets hurt returning punts, it's just a waste, man.
Yeah, it is. I guess it's like a total waste of, like, what you want Tank Dell to be. If exactly. He's going to get hurt, like, you want catching passes, not on punts, which, like, very quick side note before we go to break. For the first time last weekend, I saw the new rule in place where someone did a fair catch at like the 5-yard line on a kickoff and they got the ball at the 25. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. It is the most idiotic thing the NFL has ever done. Like, they are so scared of concussions when in reality, like, it feels like most concussions happen when Anthony Richardson is running into the end zone, not paying attention to the guy coming from his left. Like, the fact that we're letting guys fair catch the ball at the 5-yard line on a kickoff return is stupid.
It's moving slowly in the direction of no kickoff.
Just get rid of it.
Just get rid of it, yeah.
Just get rid of it. Do the XFL rule. Just give them the ball at the 25. Stop wasting my time. Add more commercials there like you want to anyways and slow down the game even more. But, like, I saw it for the first time in week two during Red Zone, and I was like, what is this? Like, what is this play? We went from stopping the wedge block to save players' safety, to fair catches at the 5-yard line on a kickoff return. Also, like, if that's what your special teams coach is telling you, your special teams coach sucks. Like, maybe it's because, like, I've seen so, like, my life has been, like, filled with great kick returners from, like, Primetime, Dante Hall, Devin Hester, like, all these guys who, like, a flash of a pan can, like, make an impact play.
That,
like,
doesn't exist anymore, though.
I know, but, like, and I know Marcus Jones, the kid from U of H, got hurt, tore his labrum, but, like, if you would ever tell that kid to not return punts or kicks, I'd be like, what is wrong with you? Like, it's like the one thing they excel at. All right. What will we learn this weekend? We'll go across all sports, college football, NFL, and Major League Baseball. That's next here on The Bullpen. I'm Joe George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. I don't get it.
You never know what you're going to get.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, you're back inside the bullpen with the producers from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Wait, who let those guys up here?
Security!
That's them right there. Right there.
So George here on the bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 75 Truths is Jose. He calls me Jose Jorge. I appreciate it. Not the first time in my life that's happened. Got some Red Bull tonight. Bring in it. Thank you. No Red Bull. Coffee's really kicking in, though. They always say I don't sleep enough when I have bad taste.
It's a little late for coffee.
Dude, I know. I can't get in this routine. Like, it became such a routine of mine when I moved to 12 to 3, when I got this job in January. Like, get a coffee before the show. That now it's such a tradition, even though we moved to 3 to 6, that, like, I've kept it. It hasn't really bit me in the ass yet in terms of sleep. I feel like tonight's the night that changes.
And just go get the coffee at noon anyways. What's stopping you?
A 2-year-old?
Oh, that's true.
I can make coffee at home and
you
spend
can.
Less
there
money.
You go.
I know. I have a Keurig. What about, you know, talk about like the biggest waste of money I've ever spent in my life.
Was it the Keurig?
It's the Keurig.
What?
Just don't use it enough. I think it's because I like...
Well, don't buy something and not use it. Use it then.
I know. I need to. I think it's because I like iced coffee and I feel... And just no matter what I do, I can't get iced coffee right in a Keurig. Like, it's always watery. Like, I can't figure out what's the ice to coffee ratio to make it work. One time I thought I figured it out, and then the coffee overflowed out of the cup because I put so much ice. So, like, I just felt like a moron. Like, I can't figure out what's wrong with my life sometimes.
Yeah, you sound like a bit of a moron there.
Alex says I hate the environment. I don't know why you say that, Alex. I love the environment. The environment's fine. All right, so what we're going to learn this weekend, there's a bunch of different things, whether it's Texans, Astros, NFL, college football, there's a bunch of stuff we're going to learn. We're going to start with the non-Houston stuff because we've already kind of gone over some of it. One of these guys also said, Deion Sanders give you a pep talk today, and I need a Buffs t-shirt. I agree, But that's the first thing we're going to learn this weekend. Like, is Colorado, are they a total fraud? Or have they just beaten and, like, just beaten bad teams? Or, like, can they hang? Because I think the line, the last time I saw it was Oregon minus 21. I think that line's right. Bo Nix is a stud. Like, what he's done at Oregon and kind of turned his career around after leaving Auburn, like, really has surprised me. But they're a good football team. Like, I think they're the third best team in the Pac-12 this year behind, I think, Washington and USC are pretty close 1-2. But then Oregon's right there. So, like, is Colorado for real? Or can they play competitive? Like, can they stay within two touchdowns? It's going to be really interesting. But more specifically, I think Colorado's gotten, like, the focus of this conversation of, like, if they can hang with Oregon. For people like me that might root for teams mostly that have dog turds of quarterbacks, I'm very curious how for real Shedeur Sanders is. And I feel like over the next 2 weeks, we're going to get that answer. Like, though the Pac-12 defenses aren't great, Oregon and USC's defenses are solid. And, like, without Travis Hunter, what does Shedeur Sanders look like the next 2 weeks? Because, like, this is a kid, like, most people, like, they view his path in college as, like, maybe he didn't belong at Colorado. He was a 3-star recruit. He had offers from Georgia, Alabama, and Florida State before choosing FAU, which is where he thought his dad was going to coach, and then falling into Jackson State. And now playing at Colorado, but, like, is Shedeur Sanders for real? Like, it's one of my biggest questions, and I think what we'll learn this weekend. Because he seems like it.
Well, it depends on what you consider for real. Because I think he has proved he belongs, at least.
I know, but I feel like the way he controls the game, like his accuracy, his demeanor, that 98-yard drive with 2 minutes left.
Big time, yeah.
I mean, the NFL scouts, the NFL teams are starting to send scouts to Colorado to, like, really look at him. But, like, if you didn't know his story and were just like, this kid's playing for Colorado, take out Deion's son, take out Jackson State, like, take out all of that, we would say this is one of the most accurate passers in college football, and he knows where the ball is going and how to get it there, like, perfectly. Like, people are starting to put NFL mock drafts out there. Yes, I'm looking at them already. I know. I'm a loser. But, like, he's starting to appear in them in, like, the top 20. He is the third or fourth quarterback for a lot of people after 3 weeks. So, can he continue that rise? Like, while Drake May is not playing good at North Carolina, he's fine. Like, can Shedeur Sanders kind of elevate himself over the next 2 weeks? I think it's the most fascinating story of college football. And you got an incredible weekend. Because the next thing we're going to learn is if, like, my life is being set up for heartache once again this weekend. Because I think Notre Dame's going to win. I think they're going to beat Ohio State. Ohio State's offensive line has not been good. Their quarterback play has been shaky at best. And Sam Hartman is legit. The transfer from, I think, Wake Forest, he's going to break every single Notre Dame passing record, yards, touchdowns, completion percentage, all of it. He's going to shatter the single season records. I'm sure they all belong to Brady Quinn. He's going to break all of them. But, like, Notre Dame and Ohio State this weekend, obviously College Game Day is going to be there. That game is going to be the most, I think, interesting game of the weekend. Because if Notre Dame can split Ohio State and USC and keep the other one close, I think they will get in a 14 playoff. And I think the same goes for Ohio State. Like, if they lose to Notre Dame, but it's close, and then they beat Michigan, they'll be fine too. So, like, this is going to be a big game. And really, this is like the kickoff of college football. Like, SEC play is back on. We'll have Auburn and A&M on the station on Saturday morning. But, like, I think we're going to learn a lot about, like, Notre Dame and, like, who they are. And it's going to be the game that everyone's watching, because most people are saying, Joe, you're wrong. I understand. I watch the playoffs when Notre Dame plays in them. I get excited and watch them get smoked. Like, I understand my life. Don't worry. I get it. I get hope up for nothing. It's basically why I'm a sad sports fan. Like, all this hope for Notre Dame, and then it gets crushed. Like, you think, honestly, I don't know what's worse, John. Like, a Texas fan or a Notre Dame fan? Like, Texas is like Sam Ellinger saying, we're back after a bowl game. Notre Dame is going to the college football playoff and losing by 24. I think I'd rather be Texas.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
Because, like, Notre Dame, like, you think you got it, and then you get
getting
demolished.
Slaughtered in that moment, yeah.
It's like,
demoralizing.
It's sad. It's sad to watch consistently. But I'm going to just, you know, talk outside my mouth, both sides of my mouth right now, and say Notre Dame's going to win this weekend. I think they're better than Ohio State. Are the Chargers or Vikings dead? It's a one-point line. Both teams 0-2. Both teams make the playoffs last year. I think whoever loses this game, their season's over. It's week three, I know. But the Chargers, just they're the Chargers. They are just, that franchise is cursed. Like, it doesn't matter if Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, or Justin Herbert's their quarterback. They're never going to achieve anything. Maybe the Spanos family is cursed. Maybe you shouldn't move to L.A. where no one cares about you and you can't fill up a soccer stadium. Like, more Dynamo fans at Dynamo games than Chargers fans when they're in a
Yikes.
Soccer stadium. Sorry, it's the truth. And those games were full. They were full of opposing fans. Like, the only people like that go to Chargers games are the opposing team. Like, it's the most pathetic thing. It's the weirdest decision I've ever seen a team make. Like, the only thing I think is weirder is the Clippers. Clippers leaving Staples Center or whatever, or crypto.com. Did they change that again?
No, it's crypto.
It's still crypto?
Still
they
crypto.
They haven't been forced to change that yet since crypto's a fraud, like the Miami Heat did. But, like, the Clippers are leaving that stadium, and, like, they think people are going to go to their games. Like, what are we, like, come on, guys. Don't be so naive.
Isn't it better, though, than going in there and looking up in the rafters and seeing all the Lakers championships every time you play at your home arena?
Yeah, but there's going to be no banners.
That's true.
Like, I guess, like, they'll probably retire, like, Blake Griffin's number or something like that, or, like, Lamar Odom or whoever's been good for the Clippers, Chris Paul one day. I think whoever loses the Chargers-Vikings game this weekend is just, I think they're dead. Like, I just don't think that one of those teams is going to come back from this. And I think it's going to be the Chargers that lose. Like, Brandon Staley should be the number one coach on the hot seat. He might not be because, you know, the Spanos family, like, over history, does not fire coaches during their tenure. They wait till their contracts run out. But, like, I think that's one of the weirder, like, more interesting games this weekend, just because of like what the fallout is after. Locally, can the Astros figure it out? Like, that's what we'll learn this weekend. Did Wednesday's game matter as much as we all hope it meant? Like the old Astros, I would say Wednesday's game was the moment where they show up and go to a World Series. Like, it's the moment where you have 9 games left. They go 7-2. They make the playoffs easily. They get a first-round bye. Christian Javier is back. Justin Verlander figures it out. And they make a run to the postseason, beating the Orioles on the way, and they get to the World Series. I just don't feel I would love to feel that confident in this team this year. I don't. So, like, I think we're going to learn that, like, if they're for real about being that good again. And the last thing, we kind of mentioned it in the last segment, can D'Amico draw up a defense that's not going to get embarrassed? Like, and that's a big one. Like, that's the last thing I think we're really going to learn on Sunday of with the Texans is I think we know what we're going to see from CJ. We're going to see good quarterback play. I tend to agree with Jeremy and Joel and what we were talking about earlier. The Texans have a franchise quarterback, and we'll talk about this in the next segment of, well, it could be worse, but I think we know our answer about CJ. Maybe not about how great he can be, but, like, at least for now, you're in a good spot with him. But the biggest question is, can D'Amico shut down Jacksonville just like Kansas City did last weekend? So that's what I think we'll learn this weekend. We'll do that every Friday. So he is John Bellamy. You can find him on Twitter at Third Coast Johnny. I'm Joe George on Twitter at Joe George Radio. It's the Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. Fighter of the Night, man.
Amen. Oh.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Final segment here, Joe George on Twitter at Joe George Radio. John Bellmer behind the glass on Twitter at Third Coast Johnny. Our final segment, we've been talking about Texans, Astros. I was like, oh, we got a couple texts here. People tweeting us COVID links and then saying, wrong person. This is a radio station, folks. Text the right people. I got some advice here on my iced coffee about make a coffee, pour it over ice, and then pour it over ice again. And then Belmer and I were just talking about doing the ice cube, like the coffee ice cubes. I've just never tried it. Because right now I've got a freezer where it has the ice machine. So like I stopped buying.
Oh, so you got to buy like an ice tray?
Yeah. It's like, I don't need it except for coffee. But I feel like it's just such an easy thing to do and I've never tried it. All right, final segment of the show. This is where I'm just going to talk to you guys because I feel like there's still some Texans fans and Astros fans that are, you're in a bad way. You're in a spot where you feel like everything's bad. We're having questions about, we had a call today. We're talking about D'Amico Ryans and his honeymoon and how long it lasts. And I think we, as a show, collectively agreed on about 2 years. Then we got someone calling in asking for, giving suggestions for new offensive coordinators already. We have a bunch of people who still think C.J. Stroud sucks, that the offensive line will never be good, that D'Amico Ryans is nowhere ready to be a head coach of an NFL team. But I just want to just take this time to tell you that it could be worse, okay? First example. Remember once upon a time I saw a mock draft from Lance and others, so this is not a Lance thing, about Tyree Wilson, the kid from Texas Tech, as an option for the Houston Texans at 12. And people are upset the Texans gave away a first-round pick and traded up to get Will Anderson the first next year. People don't like it. I get it. I'm personally good with it. Tyree Wilson, through two games, has a 0% pass rush win rate. That seems bad. The other player, Khalil Mack. Yikes. That dude fell off a cliff. But, like, would you rather have Tyree Wilson, who has a 0% pass rush win rate, in your first next year, or Will Anderson?
Oh, zero's awful, man. Holy crap.
Can you get worse than zero?
Yeah, you cannot.
I actually wonder if you could. I mean, like, I know that you can't. But, like, they should be like, if you get every time you get, like, pancaked, you get negative points. So, like, every time, like, you get put on your ass, you can have a negative pass rush win rate. I think that would be very funny. I don't understand why they don't keep track of pancakes in the NFL. Like, I feel like offensive linemen need a cool stat. Like, all Joe Thomas had for his career was he played in a lot of games. And he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think not getting your quarterback hit is a cool enough stat for me.
Yeah, but he should have let Johnny get hit a couple more times for the few games they played together. Not you, Johnny. Johnny Manziel. Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson both out this weekend. It could be worse. If you're not a CJ guy, both those guys are out. We played an audio clip earlier from a radio station that we think was in Charlotte, but some guy called and yelled at me and said, tell your host it's from Denver, so I don't know. But Bryce Young, an ankle injury, out 1 to 2 weeks. He looks terrible. He can't see over his offensive line. Anthony Richardson, 3 games into his career, left in the fourth quarter, left after 2 drives, misses the 3rd game. CJ Stroud, while some of them, some people, I get it, feel like empty stats, has been balling through 2 weeks. Like, he's been really damn good. And for some reason, I listened to the Bill Simmons podcast today. And they did a way, way too early 2023 mock redraft. And they said CJ Stroud would pretty confidently be the first quarterback taken. It's 2 weeks. But the thing is, I tend to agree. Before the draft, I'm not usually this guy. I was team CJ Stroud. I believe that CJ Stroud, before the draft, got lumped into a narrative that was not fair to him. That people wanted to say Ohio State doesn't develop quarterbacks on CJ Stroud. In reality, they've put 2 quarterbacks, now 3 with CJ, in the first round. Rest in peace. No one thought Dwayne Haskins was going to be good. Justin Fields, I could have told you, what he ran at Ohio State and what CJ Stroud ran at Ohio State are totally different offenses. All Justin had to do was watch one guy and then wasn't there, run. CJ Stroud showed in college, not just versus Georgia, he could actually like read a defense and be a competent NFL player. I thought that was very clear. So like, it could be worse. Your quarterback could not be playing, and it could be Bryce Young, who looks, I think, terrible. Like, am I as a Bears fan thrilled they have the Panthers pick? Yeah. Like, I am. It could be worse. Speaking of the Bears, let's just talk about it. The Texans franchise, their starting quarterback, C.J. Stroud, did not directly blame coaching this week like Justin Fields did. The Texans franchise did not have a defensive coordinator resign for who knows what reason. There's a lot of rumors out there about FBI raids going on at Hallis Hall and at Alan Williams' house. The Bears specifically denied that there was no police raid, FBI raid at Hallis Hall, they did not deny the fact that it may have happened at his house. The Bears also, 3 years ago, had a player tear his ACL in Tariq Cohen. They let Tariq Cohen stay on that roster and give him health benefits. Alan Williams claims that he had health issues and personal issues. He has been deleted from the team website. Their announcement was Alan Williams has resigned from his position. Nothing else. No good wishes. No Bear for life. None of that stuff. And then today it was reported that the Bears had over like $10,000 of like lawn mowing equipment stolen from them. So Texans fans, it could be worse. Like, that is a poverty franchise. You know who has the... I saw this yesterday. Someone put out NFL standings over the last 162 games, made it look like a baseball schedule. You know who the bottom four teams were? Not the Texans. The Jags were still below them. It was the Panthers, the Jaguars, another expansion team. I can't remember. Oh, no, I think maybe it was...
Was it the Jets?
No, maybe it was the Texans were third or were fourth. They were fourth worst. The Bears, a franchise that's been around since the first Super Bowl, had the third least wins in the NFL in their last 162 games. So like, it could be worse. You people could be me. You people could be watching games in which you think you have a franchise quarterback and you don't. A franchise quarterback that said he has to think too much this week. Like, just know, like, you don't have my bad. You're going to be okay. So those are things that can make you feel... Oh, and the Yankees and the Red Sox are both going to miss the playoffs. So even though the Astros are struggling right now, like, the Yankees and the Red Sox are going to miss the playoffs. The Dodgers are missing players for bad issues, unlike the Astros, who are just missing players because they're hurt. But just to get back here on the Astros just for, like, the final, like, 60 seconds of the show. They need to win 2 out of 3 this weekend. I really want to be selfish and say win 3 out of 3 because, like, that should be the expectations. On their last 9-game, like, set of games, I said they need to go 7-2. They went 3-6. So, like, asking for 2 out of 3 from the Astros this weekend, I don't feel like is asking a lot. Let's see a W tonight. I don't really have, like, the most high expectations, but Framber Valdez, stay cool, stay calm, stay collected. No one get hurt. Hit some dingers, Yordan Alvarez. Please get some wins. I don't want to be doing Panic Monday. Give me a victory Texans Monday. It won't happen. I would love a victory Texans Monday and an Astros sweep over the Royals this weekend. I'm Joe George. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio. He's John Bellmer on Twitter at Third Coast Johnny. I'll be back on Monday with the Bees at 3 and the Bullpen Show at 6. We got Wagering World with 5-star in Vegas and then Patrick Creighton. That's what's coming up next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
I don't have friends. I got family.